This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
God, and as that river flows, let it flow through us. Continue to renew and restore. Continue to remind us that you are indeed a present help in times of trouble. Remind us tonight, God, that you are indeed with us. Remind us, Lord, not only of our call, but your promises, all the promises you've made to us. And Lord, we ask now that you will just tend to us, that you would speak to us, that we will hear a word from you. That God, as we go from here tonight, and as the rivers of our lives flow, that God, we will no longer be afraid of the tide of the current, but that we will be just willing to ride with it. So Lord, we commit this night to you, and we thank you. Amen. How are you all doing tonight? You know, you all sounded so good. I felt like going Alicia Keys talking about this world is on fire. Woo, I take it you all had a great day. Well, we started this morning with amazing praise prayer service, and then we had Bible study, and then we learned stuff in the convocation. It's just I might be Presbyterian before this is over. You know, I'm telling you, I'm trying to hang with God on this one. But I'm excited. Last night we dealt with the call and dealt with Moses and understood that sometimes things are at work and there's always a hint of something more. We talked about how Moses dealt with God and how God dealt with Moses. Well, tonight we're going to invite our friend Jeremiah, who I am in love with Jeremiah. We're going to invite him in to just share with us a little more about his call. Have anybody in here, besides me, ever felt that you were just out of place? Am I the only one? Felt like you didn't fit? You know, just felt like, God, you know, God called you and you just kind of went Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I think about that now, and I'm grateful, but as I shared last night, you all know I am ordained both Southern and National Baptist, two conventions that don't want me. You know, that's what I'm saying. I got to work through that. I've been Baptist a long time, so, you know, any transition won't be easy. But the reality of knowing that an 18-month-old baby boy can stand in places where I still can't stand. That's a reality. But does it make me sad? Not anymore. Who want to preach where they'll let an 18-month-old baby preach? Really? And so I'm learning stuff about the suitability. Our theme tonight is befitting the call. What is appropriate? What is suitable? What is proper? And you all, we always have this idea of what is suitable, what is proper. And when we look that up, none of our pictures seem to be in that slot in the dictionary. Now, the thing about it, though, as other people look at that, they see us and think we're the ones that fit. And the reality is none of us fit each other's call. But we all fit our own calls. And unfortunately, we are not taught enough about our own calls, understanding that a call is not a period. Sometimes it's a question mark, but usually it's a comma, a colon, or an exclamation point that hints always that there's something more. You're called to more than just that initial invitation of God to come and follow me in new ways. And here we have a wonderful lesson from Jeremiah. Our scripture is taken from Jeremiah, the first chapter, 4 through 10. And I'm still reading from the Common English Bible. I called one of my professor friends who helped write this, and she started laughing. Like, I said, have they ever heard of it? And she just started laughing. We didn't write it, we just translated it. So, okay. So I'm going to read their translation, okay? The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. And the Lord responded, don't say you're an only child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them because I'm with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. And Jeremiah responds, Lord, can I have door number two? The word of God for the people of God. When we teach and when we preach, we love Jeremiah because it's a beautiful calling of him saying, God, I'm only a child, and God says, not enough. But you all, we always stop there and we don't read this part where God says, and everything else will happen. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm going to rescue you. Okay, I don't know if y'all caught that, but in order to be rescued, you got to be in trouble, just in case you missed that. So here you call, you hear not just a call, because we love to stop, but I'm only a child. You're not a child, you're something more. But we miss the other part. Because Jeremiah was not saying no to the call of God. If you read before that, he had been trained as a priest. Although, if you look closer at his history, we always just assume, okay, he is the son, the grandson. He is an ancestor of Hilkiah. He used to be the high priest during Josiah's time. But if you read further, they got kicked out of the city by King David, really, and they were banned to Anathoth, and basically, Abiathar was, they were going to kill him, and they said, okay, no, you've been kind of cool, you know, you're around, you helped us with the ark, you know, you got it back for us, so we're just going to ban you. So here you have Jeremiah, who doesn't come from the king's court, he comes from Anathoth. And as he comes from Anathoth, and as he pronounces here, even though he has been a part of the priestly lineage, and the only way you could do that is be born into it, here you have a priest with no synagogue, a priest with no temple, a priest with no church. But he had already been called. But now he has another narrative, a commissioning narrative, where God says, now this is what I need for you to do. I need you to go to the same people. Remember the people we talked about last night that God sent Moses to rescue, because God says, I've heard the cry of my people. I've seen their oppression. I know their pain. Well, these same people, God delivered, and they kept like getting back in trouble. I don't know why they didn't just get the email and stay with it for a while. But they kept getting in trouble. In fact, Moses' whole journey gave hint to that. Moses being caught, God saying, I'm with you, go do these things. And yet, if you read, when Moses got to the place where he went up to receive the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, while he was up there, God gets mad and said, go down there before I get them. And when Moses goes down there, it's a beautiful story. Moses has stayed up too long, and these same people who had been delivered from God out of Egypt were taking all of their precious jewels and jewelry and all their fineries, threw it in a fire because they said Moses was gone too long and we need a God we can see. So when Moses comes down, he says, Aaron, what has happened? Aaron says, see, what had happened was I just threw the stuff in there and the calf popped out. These are the people that God loved. And so as they continued the journey, then they didn't want to go in, so they got left out. So 3 days took 40 years. And so at one point, God just says to Moses, God gets fed up with Moses, and God says, not Moses, but he says, I'm tired of them. They're stiff-necked people. I'm not going. And Moses had to say, wait, God, whoa. If you don't go, I'm not going. As we take a look at the sober reality, because we are proper and suitable and appropriate, we must remember that God knows who we are. And the requirement is a simple one. Just be honest with that God. Here you have Jeremiah saying, Lord, I really think I'm a little bit too young for what you're asking me to do. And God says back, don't say that. No, you're not. But at least you know how I feel. Yes, I do, but I also know you, because I was there from the very beginning. And I know your whole story. And I've peeked into the future of my people, and I've peeked into your future, and it matches. So don't say you're too young. But God invites that kind of honesty. And if you look at the call narratives, each one of the prophets that were called all had an issue. Amen. I'll let that side catch up with me. And the reality is, though, even though we have all been called, the good news tonight is that we all have our issues. But your issues do not exempt you from your call.
Amen.
And so no matter what has gone on in your life, no matter what you're feeling, and Lord knows there's enough in our world and our society to make us feel bad about us. Oh my goodness, we're too young, we're too old, we're too tall, we're too short, we're too feminine, we're too masculine. We're 2-2-2-2. And if each one of you decide to take a look at this honestly, you will fill in the blank. Lord, not I am 2. I am not enough. I am something other. And God is saying to us tonight, no, don't say that, because I know. I know you. And this is a beautiful thing, because God says, and whatever you are, guess what? Not only do you not, you fall short, I know that, but I plan to make up the difference. But not only that, whatever else I need from you, I will either put it in you or pull it out of you.
Amen.
And is that not good news? Because we are befitting, and we need to quit questioning that one. Lord, is it I? Yes. It's you. And it's me. And there's a people who need you. But unfortunately from Jeremiah, he did not get door number 2. He got door number 1. And God told him to do 2 things. I need you to go and preach a double-headed message. To lift up and to tear down. To build and to destroy. Can you imagine? But he came from Anatot. He was already an exile and a banished one. So it makes sense that when he comes up against a group of prophets and priests that have a different message, he is able to stand, because he's an outsider. Who knew God could use outsiders? Well, we did. And so as they preached, all is at well in Zion, he says, no, all is not well. Don't be happy. In fact, I love Jeremiah, because God just kept messing with Jeremiah. Every time Jeremiah got comfortable, God always called him to less instead of more. He was called at a young age, so he didn't even get to party. And then not only that, but now as time goes on, God tells him, don't even get married and don't have children. That's not right. You mean not only do I have to be this weird priest, but I got to be this weird priest by myself? Really? And not only that, Lord, you keep giving me these words and people don't like me. And not only that, Lord, let me be honest with you. Sometimes I don't like them. And then God switched the switch. Because if you read on in, I think, chapter 17, again in 14, Jeremiah has to prophesy because God tells him, don't pray for them anymore. We don't know that God that will say, don't pray for them. Because I'm pretty mad at them right now. Y'all read the Bible, right? It's in there. God tells Jeremiah, don't pray for them because I'm mad at them right now. And if you pray, I might change my mind. And I'm glad I wasn't Jeremiah because I'm like, cool. Have you ever worked with people you didn't like? And if they're sitting next to you, don't say a word, just blink. Have you ever been sent places that you didn't want to go? Have you ever been told to do something you didn't want to do? That's part of the call. Amen. Unfortunately for us, we really do have this wonderfully sweet vision of what fitting into the call means. It means that we will have the church of our dreams, and it will be perfect. And they will love Jesus. And they will want to love Jesus. We will have the perfect home with the perfect spouse and the perfect children who love Jesus and who wants you to love Jesus all the more. We will have even the perfect house, the perfect lawn, the perfect dog who actually says grace before he eats. And then at the end of our journey, we will not die from cancer, high blood pressure, or crazy. We will die because we went to sleep and woke up in the bosom of Jesus. And when you wake up from that dream, let me share with you the reality. You will work with people that even God won't like sometimes. Sometimes you will work with you and you won't like you sometimes. I remember one time I preached a sermon that was so bad, I knew people were trying to get unsaved. I don't want Jesus no more. Here, take him back. And you know, and I felt bad, and I'm not supposed to preach anyway because I'm a woman, you know? And it's like, see, God, you did that. And yet God does not uncall us. I told the Lord the other day, Lord, look, you know what? If you would just talk to me about these things, we could work this out easier. And let me check my menu. I never saw pain on there. I've never seen disappointment. You're supposed to make me happy. And because of the Bible study this morning, I'm going to stop almost praying for Publishers Clearinghouse to come by. But it seems like because we answer the call and because with all of our quirks and our weirdness and our issues, it seems like we should get a free pass from life. And it doesn't work that way. And Jeremiah teaches us that God said to him, I will rescue you, Lord, from what? From everything. Because every time Jeremiah preached, there was either a riot or a revolution, and usually there was a riot. But it was the oddest thing. Jeremiah would preach, this is what the Lord says. Don't fight it. Just go with it. And he gets in trouble. At one point, not only was everybody mad at him, but his whole family, the village, the prophets, they were going to stone him. And Jeremiah was at a place in his existence like, stone me. I'm ready to go. Yes. Jeremiah would preach. He ended up in a cistern. Jeremiah would preach. He ended up with a yoke. And those happy, glad preachers were walking by going, why don't you just tell them what they want to know? Excuse me. Tell them what they want to hear. And that's a pressure because we want to get paid. I'll let this side catch up with that one. And Jeremiah, this odd, weird young thing, called by God at an early age, told not to marry, told to go down to the potter's house. And then I want you to preach just as the clay is in the potter's hand, yours and mine. And I can do what I want. And then he tells them, go and prophesy. See the vision. Two different figs. One are old and rotten and yucky, and the other ones are desirable and beautiful. Preach to them both. Tell the new figs they're going to go in captivity, but I will bring them home. Tell the bad figs. You are the weakest link. Have you ever had to preach good news in a bad way or bad news in a good way? Have you ever had to preach to people that you knew would not hear you? And yet God still called you. I think about Ezekiel's call. That one just messes with me because God says to Ezekiel, I call you. And if I call you to people that don't know the language you know, they will listen to you. If I called you to people that not like you, they will listen to you. I'm calling you to your own people. And they are stiff-necked. Excuse me, God? Yes, they're stiff-necked. They won't listen to me. They definitely won't listen to you. Well, then my question is, God, why are you sending me there? And God's answer is still the same. I love them. And I want to give them a chance. But they're stiff-necked. They're mean. They're brutal. They're going to have you for lunch. You're going to imagine things like wheels in the middle of the wheels. You're going to be asking questions, can these dry bones live? Now, what... what do you do when God gives you a quiz? I just say, oh, if only you know, God. But the thing that's beautiful, if you take a look at Ezekiel, the thing that's beautiful, if you read closely, God says, and I will put the same thing in you. We never get affirmed for being stubborn. We never get affirmed for that tenacity that won't let us quit. We never get affirmed for that thing inside of us that makes us preacher strong. We never get affirmed when you're quirky and you're crazy and you're the risk taker or you're the dreamer or you're the staunch stubborn one or you're the fighter or you take no nonsense. We don't get credit for that. But being befitting to the call God has put in you, that which you need to live out God's call, no matter where God calls you to tear up and to build down, to replace, to restore, to renew, to tire out, to retire. God did that. And God calls you. And if you are human every now and then, in your honesty, you're tired and don't want to do it. I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah went on strike at one point. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not even preaching anymore. I'm going to sit down. Now, y'all remember the fire that Moses encountered that did not consume? That fire showed up in Jeremiah. And he could not preach because he said it was like fire shut up in his bones. And he had to preach. And then Jeremiah got so depressed. He wrote a whole book, Lamentations. And even in the midst of his despair, when he says to God, you have turned my bitterness into gall. Lord, I'm basically a laughing stock, and I think you have made me a target. And he says, and yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. If it were not for God's great love, I would be consumed. But your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, great is your faithfulness. And then you hear God said, and no matter what, I will rescue you. Why? Because we're in a covenant agreement that as you have called and you have lived out my call and you have walked in the commission of my call, all the places I've taken you into barren lands, into exile, among people who hate you and hate the word of God, in the cisterns, in the prisons, you have gone and I have promised you that I will rescue you. But the reality, in order to be rescued, you got to be held up by something. And Jeremiah was faithful. And God calls us to be faithful. So if you find yourself tonight just tired and weary, then you just need to go have yourself a little talk with God. Tell God how you really feel, and then don't be upset if God slaps you and just tells you to go on. Oh, I forgot that part. Because you're not the first one, remember? you're not the first one that's been discouraged. I love Noah. And I understand why Noah got drunk. See, you all are laughing because you all are Presbyterians. Y'all drink. Baptists do not drink, at least in public, okay? But here you have Noah, who preached for 100 years. It's going to rain. It's going to rain no matter what the sermon topic was it ended with, but it's going to rain. H2O is coming down. Get ready. And here you find Noah. After the rain, the 40 days, the flood is coming, gone, dry land, and he has not a single soul that he can tell, see, I was right, I told you so. So the grapes got good. Ezekiel has this amazing showdown. Amazing showdown where he won against 400 prophets of Baal. And they danced and they cried and they cut themselves and they couldn't do anything. And the meat just kind of laid there. And then y'all with me. Thank you. Elijah, he says, so what? Your God is like going to the restroom? I mean, what's up with that? Yeah, it's in there. I love that part. And so then finally he says, let me show you what to do. He says, do water again, drench it in water. And then he calls down fire that not only consumed the calf, it consumed the altar, and then it consumed the water. It just licked up everything. And then after all of this, Elijah gets brave enough and kills off all four. Do you know how long and how much energy it takes to kill a person? Okay, I'm not confessing to anything, but I am giving up Investigative Discovery TV for a while. I didn't know there are so many ways to kill one person. 400. Then he went, pronounced, Ahab, it's going to rain. And then Jezebel puts a contract on him. And he is so tired and exhausted and weary. Not afraid of God. Not afraid of the 400 prophets. But afraid of one woman. To the point that he finally just gets mad, walks for 40 days. And you know how you walk for 40 days and still you be mad? He gets to the top of the mountain and God shows up and God makes a wonderful entrance. You know, rain, fire, you know, sleet, hail. I would have been gone. No problem, God. I got this. No problem. God shows up in a still, small voice and he says, what is it? And he says, I'm tired. Jezebel is out to get me and I'm all by myself. I am alone. And you would think God would say, oh, you're just tired. You've done good. I'm so proud of you. Come, drink. I got you, darling. God said, okay, I want you to go down. I want you to ordain Elijah. And oh, by the way, I have 7,000 that have not bowed. By the way, you're not alone. Whatever your story is, you got to hear God say, oh, by the way, you're not too young. Oh, by the way, you're not too old. Oh, by the way, you're not too conservative. Oh, by the way, you're not too liberal. Oh, by the way, you're not too. You are you. Amen. And I called you, whether from Anatah or Alabama, I called you. And I didn't call you because I had nothing to do. I called you because there's a people who need to hear a word from you. And this is what I know about God. When God calls you, God prepares a people to hear you and receive you. Now, they may not always be nice about it, but it's not a solo calling just for you. It's a call to a people too. And we must remember, in the midst of all of our issues, in the midst of all of our stuff, in the midst of it, the God who promised to be with Moses has promised to be with you, has promised to be with each of us. And he says, I am with you always. And this same God who promised to rescue Jeremiah has promised to rescue you. And so the goal and the call is a simple one. Be faithful to that which God has called you. As you look at your lives, there's always hint of something more. Even now, whatever you're going through, whatever saddens you, whatever pains your heart, whatever causes you to go up to the mountain and raise your fist to God, understand it is befitting for the call. And at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, not only is God with you, but you must understand and you must remember that it's not just all about you. And it's not just all about them. But it's all about a God who loves both you and them. And no matter where you find yourself in life, God has called you to be, and you are fit for that call.